Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:19 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 8th. I thought we'd kick off today with inflation protected bonds because UK inflation protected securities are down to the lows put in last year, around a negative 300 basis points. Well, that's a clear indication that investors are more worried about deflation than inflation. But it's also back in an area of previous support. It's where when we got down to those lows in 2019, then there was an acute turnaround. And over the course of this downtrend over the last decade, there have been a number of occasions when we've seen some really quite profound rallies in terms of the yield. So when we then think about, well, what is likely to happen now? Well, we're already in negative interest rates by a really wide margin. There is still the potential that it could yet push on to new lows, because this is still a really quite consistent, more than decade long downtrend. But then, of course, what happens next? It means that there will be a concerted effort to drive up the velocity of money by flooding the market with liquidity. And that is basically what the UK government is looking to do with a significant additional spending plan. And that may yet turn the trend around, but there's no real great evidence of it just yet. And we have really quite a similar condition with tips in the USA. Now, the yield is not quite as low as it is in the UK, but it is back in the region of the lows put in at the beginning of this year, or really in March, and all the way back in 2012. We may yet see some firming on the yield, just because there are some inflationary pressures built into some better economic activity. Considering the quantity of money that has been poured into the market, then any uptick in the velocity of money has inflationary consequences. So it is therefore likely that we should start to see yields moving higher. But of course, the primary reason why gold continues to rally is that even if we do get inflationary pressures coming into the market, that is exactly as ordered from the perspective of central bankers. And they have no intention of raising interest rates. So we are certainly in an era of financial repression, where interest rates are going to remain below the nominal rate of inflation for the foreseeable future, and gold prices are back above the $1,800 level for the first time since 2011. Now, I think we can certainly see that there's a short-term overbought condition, so we may see some consolidation in this area, but this is still a medium-term uptrend. And I don't think that anyone who's accustomed to looking at charts will really conclude that the old peak set back in 2011, just north of $1,900, is going to represent anything other than a temporary pause in what is a still early stage bull market. I have been talking over the last week about the conditions that would need to be met in order to conclude that we are moving out of the first stage, first psychological perception stage of a new bull market, and into the second. Well, the first one is characterized by disbelief, the second by acceptance. And silver breaking above $20 would certainly help to fit that bill. Silver is high beta gold. But if we look at the gold-silver ratio, then what we are presented with is a very extraordinary move that's already taken place. But the more important point is that silver is now turning back to a position of outperformance. That's one confirmatory signal. But I think more important than that, it's that at the beginning of major bull markets, silver doesn't generally tend to lead. In fact, it's gold that tends to do best first, and then silver does better. That was true off the lows in 2008, and it was also true from the lows in 2000. Gold outperformed for the first couple of years of the bull market, And then silver moved into a much more meaningful period of outperformance relative to gold. Therefore, it is reasonable that one of the hallmarks of a period of acceptance of a new secular bull market hypothesis is the drive by investors to go and find leverage to the story. They are no longer happy with simply capturing a yield or buying on an unleveraged basis. They then think about how to juice the market, how to make even more money, how were they really going to make this one pay. And silver is one of the easy answers because it is much more volatile than gold. If it can sustain a move above $20, it is reasonable to conclude that we are then in the second psychological perception stage. Silver tends to begin to outperform in the second, and then it outperforms by an extremely wide margin in the third psychological perception stage. And that is probably quite a few years out there in the future. Now, when we think about what exactly is going on, the financial repression story seems to be, I think, reasonably well understood by investors at this stage, and that is why they're supporting the gold price. But we are also in a period where we have yield curve control. And while the Federal Reserve has not come out and said that they are providing a backstop to the repo market, the de facto conclusion is that there is a de facto backstop to the repo market. The Federal Reserve has not said that they are engaging in yield curve control. And yet the bond market is behaving as if they are. They've already bought a very significant slug of long-dated bonds. And when we think about the 30-year, what would really need to occur is a substantial increase in the supply of long-dated bonds in order to satiate the demand that the Federal Reserve has for trying to compress yields at the long end of the curve. But so far, they have been quite successful, and the yield is still trading below the 1.5% level. It has not pushed back above the trend mean. So this, I think, is ample, or at least as much evidence as anyone might wish for, that we are in a period of financial repression, that there is de facto yield curve control, there is de facto control of the global repo market. All of these factors expose the Federal Reserve to unlimited liability. And that means that the quantity of money that could potentially be printed doesn't have a logical end point. So there is the clear scope that we're going to see further additions to central bank balance sheets. Now, when we then think about stock markets, the NASDAQ 100 was in positive territory again in here today, and it recouped most of the decline put in yesterday. This continues to be a really quite impressive advance. Now, the hallmark of the bull market since March has been that the breakouts have not been sustained, at least since April. And if that is to remain the case, then the price would pull back to test around the 10,000 level. Now, if it does not do that, then we can conclude that the consistency is changing, that weight of money is pushing the stock market higher, and we are then moving into a period of much quicker advances. So there is the potential that this massive amount of liquidity, the fact that there are nascent inflationary pressures in the market, is helping to support all types of shares. Facebook, having had a worrisome couple of weeks, it hit a new high this week. Google has the threat of antitrust hanging over it in Europe, and it is back in the region of its peak. Apple's 5G phone is certainly being priced into the market right now, and it continues to push on to new highs, and this also represents a really quite impressive advance, which has been punctuated by equal-sized reactions. A pullback now of at least $50 would really be required to confirm a peak of more than near-term significance. Microsoft is really working hard at expanding its teams function. That's taking aim at Splunk and certainly going after the company's market share. And yet this is another company that was in positive territory in here today and confirming support in the region of the upper side of its base formation. There is clear scope for continued upside as long as we see that there is potential for additional monetary and fiscal stimulus. And investors are concluding that new companies that have really only IPO'd in the last 12 months are some of the most leveraged plays to this bull market, because they almost universally focus on the ethereal market rather than bricks and mortar market. So it is the group of companies that have succeeded best in the stay-at-home period for the global economy. Then we have the, when we look internationally, the dollar index is also looking susceptible to additional weakness. And it was down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. If we flick it around and look at the euro, it is pushing back up towards this 114 area. This entire range over the course of the last month has looked like a little first step above the base, and there is the clear scope that we're going to see additional upside. The pound has also steadied. It is up now to 126 and change, and it has at least confirmed near-term support in the region of 120. The Australian dollar has also now started to strengthen further. It is on the cusp of pushing back above the 70 area, and that would clearly break the more than two-year downtrend. When we then think about what exactly is going on internationally, well, China is engaged in a very clear ambition to reassert demand, or I guess its global ambitions. And they want to have a strong stock market in order to demonstrate that they have overcome the coronavirus better than everyone else. So the market broke upwards on Friday and has extended the advance in here today. The FTSE China A50, and sorry, I didn't type that correctly, has been leading over the course of the last while, and it broke out to new highs over more than a decade in here this week. Now, we've had a bit of volatility over the last couple of days, but this is a really quite impressive breakout. And China's determination to stamp its authority on the rest of the world and to really highlight its influential position as a country that has overcome the coronavirus is certainly helping to flatter the stock market there, but it is also likely to flatter regional markets. The Nikkei was in negative territory today, and it is right in the region of the trend mean, and it is close to the upper side of the two-year range. If it can pull away from this range, then it is quite likely that we're going to see the next push on the upside and an additional step higher with a sustained move above the 25,000 level. What I find particularly interesting is that there is a very large underlying range. We haven't seen these kinds of extraordinarily lengthy underlying ranges in equities for really quite some time. The last time I've seen this kind of pattern was back in 2012 and 2013, when a large number of companies had or were in the process of breaking up and out of long base formations. So Japan, having now certainly had a failed downside break below 20,000, is primed to do better from here, but it does need to hold the region of the trend mean in order to do that. Then the second section index has been also recovering, and it is pulling away from the region of the trend mean, so that is also positive. If it can sustain a move above 7,000, well, then that will be really quite a comforting development. With China leaning on the levers for growth, then copper prices were also steadier in here and now coming right back up to test the sequence of lower rally highs. When we look at iron ore then they are clearly attempting to stimulate the domestic economy by boosting production and iron ore prices, pushed on to a new recovery high in here today, and now trading above the $100 area. Nickel is an increasingly important metal for the battery sector, and it was also pushing right up to the region of the trend mean here, and looks likely that it will be able to push on further from here. We are also starting to see some additional bullish interest in commodities generally, and the continuous commodity index has now just about unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and we're looking increasingly likely that it is going to push higher from here. When we look at just individual commodities, then sugar prices are really quite depressed, but they have posted a failed downside break below the $10 level. When we just zoom in, we can see a really quite compelling upside weekly key reversal, and subsequently the rebound. Now it's testing the region of the trend mean. With the lead on gold, the potential that the dollar is going to trend downwards from here, then that represents a really quite significant tailwind for all manner of commodities. But perhaps most particularly, those that China may or may not buy as part of the agreement with the USA. Soybeans remains within its base formation. Oil prices are still trading around the $40 area, and this continues to look like one little range above the base formation, but it's going to have to do better than that. My continued belief is that it's going to be rather difficult for silver to sustain a move, for oil to sustain a move above $60. There is just too much additional supply that can come to market at those levels. But we are likely to get back up to those levels before we see a meaningful supply response. Natural gas is also at really very depressed levels, and it is starting to show some signs of a return to demand dominance in the region of the lows put in over the course of the last 20 years. The London Metals Exchange Index has been underperforming really for a fair amount of time, but it has pushed back above the trend mean. The last time it did that was at the beginning of the year, and it quickly failed. I think it is quite likely that it is now going to be able to sustain this breakout, and there is clear potential for additional interest in the resources sector. So when we then think about some of the more significant resources-based indices, the FTSE 350 Mining Index is pushing back above the trend mean and has been rather steady over the course of the last while. The ASX Resources Index has also been steadying here in the region of the trend mean. When we look at the Canadian materials sector, then it has also, well, I guess this has been somewhat more influenced by oil, but it has now sustained the move above the base formation and in fact looks a lot more like a gold share. So that is a clear indication of what kind of concentration we have in the Canadian materials index. It also tells us that we've had a massive transition in the weighting of the materials index in Canada. Then let's think about gold shares, because they have now pushed on to a new recovery high. It's completing the first step above the base. This is a lengthy range which has just been completed on the upside. It is a clear indication that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment, and that during this initial phase of outperformance, it's quite likely we're going to get back to the highs posted in 2010 and 11. So far, the focus of attention has been on extremely high probability explorers, and also those companies that have a history of paying dividends, and most particularly those that have got a low all-in sustaining cost and a history of paying dividends. Newmont Mining is the only company, the only gold miner that's on the S&P 500, and it's growing its dividend faster than just about any other company on the index. That's going to start to garner further attention from investors. But the bigger picture overall is that as gold prices appreciate, then leverage demand will increase, and gold miners offer some of the greatest leverage to the gold price, and most particularly those that have got a somewhat higher all-in sustaining cost, because they turn profitable at a quicker rate when prices accelerate, and the percentage gain that they can turn in then generally tends to be manifested rather quickly. Part of the reason why the Junior Gold Miners Index has underperformed was for exactly that reason, that people didn't believe that we were back in a demand-dominated environment, but it's now completing the base formation. So we are really on the cusp of the second psychological perception stage for the gold bull market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.